own. Most of the audience seemed sure they were getting important stock tips from a popular media guru, but the way those tips actually played out was a different story. 4 years later, in the April 2004 edition of Barron's magazine, Alan Abelson wrote, "Cramer's 10 dot-com bubble picks of 2000 ended up tanking by an average of 90%. Picking individual stocks is very risky, as Jim Cramer's top stock picks illustrates. Unlike mutual funds, individual stocks can plunge to zero. On the 50th birthday of the S&P 500 index, only 86 of the original 500 companies still remained, showing it is possible to turn a large fortune into a small fortune with individual stocks. On the other hand, it is unheard of for a registered mutual fund to go to zero. Many investors, especially new ones, attempt to beat the market by investing in individual stocks. The temptation is understandable when we read about the fabulous returns, when true, of someone who had the foresight to buy a little-known stock before it became a winner. Stock pickers love to talk about their good stock picks, but they seldom, if ever, talk about their bad ones. Daniel Kahneman and Amos Tversky suggested in a 1992 study that people dislike losses twice as much as they like gains. The media, to increase viewing and readership, encourage investors to buy individual stocks by featuring recommendations from experts who, more often than not, are proven wrong. We are seldom reminded that many of yesterday's hot stocks, think Kodak, Enron, General Motors, and Westinghouse, have turned from winners to losers, leaving most of their investors suffering large losses. Bogleheads speak out. "I've implemented Taylor's three-fund portfolio and stuck with it for years now. My primary reasons are that it is simple, elegant, I understand it, and I sleep well at night." F.E. Benefit 6. No overlap. Overlap occurs when two different mutual funds or ETFs share the same securities in a portfolio. So, if an investor owns multiple mutual funds or ETFs that contain the same securities, the result is a less diversified portfolio. To minimize risk, investors want funds with securities that act differently. If one stock or bond fund declines in value, we want other stocks or bonds in the portfolio to gain in value. If two funds hold securities that are the same, i.e. overlapped, diversification is reduced and risk increases. Many company retirement plans do not offer a total stock market index fund. Instead, they offer an S&P 500 index fund. That's a good substitute, since both funds hold the largest and most successful stocks in the United States, and both have similar long-term risks and returns. Many times, a company, an educational institution, or a government entity will offer a combination of an S&P 500 index fund and an extended market index fund. Investors can achieve a fund similar to a U.S. total market index fund by using those two funds, combining 80% S&P 500 fund with 20% extended market fund. There will be no fund overlap because Mr. Bogle specifically designed the extended market index fund to complement the S&P fund by avoiding any individual stock overlap. The more funds in a portfolio, the greater the chance of fund and securities overlap. You'll be happy to know there is no fund or securities overlap in the three-fund portfolio. Bogleheads speak out. "The three-fund total market index portfolio is so easily maintained and sensible that I now have much more time to spend on other pursuits, things that I once cared about, buying, selling, timing, etc., quite remarkably, hold little or no interest to me now." F.A. Benefit 7. No sector risk. Market sector risk is the risk you face when investing in individual sector funds, such as financials, healthcare, real estate, energy, utilities, gold and technology, to name a few. The risk is that the sector you choose may perform worse than another sector. A good example of the risk in sector investing was the popularity of the technology sector in the late 1990s, when technology stocks began to significantly outperform most other sectors. As a result, investors began piling into hot technology funds. Unfortunately for them, the tech-heavy NASDAQ index lost 77.9% during the 2000-2002 bear market, thereby wiping out a lifetime of savings for many investors. Another example of sector risk is Vanguard's Mining and Precious Metals Fund, originally named Vanguard Gold Fund, which has been Vanguard's most volatile fund. In 1993, Vanguard Gold Fund gained 93.4%, the best return of any Vanguard fund. Fund assets exploded as investors scrambled to buy shares. Unfortunately for those investors, Vanguard Gold Fund began its reversion to the mean, which is what usually happens to top-performing funds. By December 2000, Vanguard Gold Fund had the worst 5- and 10-year returns of all Vanguard funds. There is no reason, except speculation and industry marketing, to add risky sector funds to a portfolio. Vanguard's two total market equity funds already contain the market weight of sector funds, and with much less risk, cost, and complexity. Bogleheads speak out. Tired of experimenting, sticking with this three fund, 70% stock, 15% bond, 15% international stock. FI. Benefit 8. No style drift. Style drift is the divergence of a mutual fund or an ETF from its stated investment style, focus. Most investors want a combination of at least several styles for their diversification benefit, meaning that when one style is doing badly, another style may be doing well. Stock funds. Morningstar divides stock funds into 9 style categories, ranging from large cap value, considered less risky, to small cap growth, considered more risky. It is difficult for the manager of a fund to maintain the fund's style because small stocks get larger and mid-cap stocks can get smaller or larger. Value funds can become blend funds or even growth funds. Style risk may also cause a tax problem in taxable accounts, where exchanging a profitable fund because of its style change may result in a capital gains tax. Bond funds. Morningstar also divides bond funds into 9 style categories, ranging from short-term high-quality bonds, least risky, to long-term low-quality bonds, most risky. Bond funds have a similar style drift problem. As a bond fund's portfolio ages, long-term bonds become mid-term, mid-term bonds become short-term, and short-term bonds reach maturity. There is a prime reason for the high turnover in most bond funds. The bottom line? Total market index funds include all investment styles within their 3 broad categories, U.S. stocks, U.S. bonds, and international stocks. For this reason, the total market index funds in the 3 fund portfolio do not have a style drift problem. For you and me, that's one less variable to worry about. Bogleheads speak out. The simplicity as I get older and worry about how others may have to step in someday to help manage things is a huge advantage to me of this portfolio. FK. Benefit 9. Low tracking error. Tracking error is the difference between a fund's return and the return of its chosen index benchmark. A primary goal of index fund managers is to track their benchmark index as closely as possible. Vanguard recently reported that total stock market has lagged its index an average of only 0.14% since its inception. Total international lagged by 0.29% and total bond market by 0.29%. Compared to managed funds, these are very low tracking rates and were the result of good management, great diversification, low volatility, and low cost. Tracking error may not be noticeable when it's small. However, when tracking error is negative over long periods or significant over short periods, both of which happen to actively managed and sector funds, the fund's investors may be tempted to change to a better performing hot fund, one of the worst mistakes investors can make. Bogleheads speak out. I think it's difficult to go wrong with a 3-fund solution. I've also learned that it can make one's life much simpler when it comes to rebalancing, portfolio tracking, and taxes. Thank you, Taylor, for nudging me in this direction a few years ago. FR. Benefit 10. Above average return. A total market fund will never beat the market, but you are guaranteed to do far better than most active investors. Jonathan Clements, author of 6 financial books and more than 1,000 columns for the Wall Street Journal. Would you like to own a 3-fund portfolio that is mathematically certain to outperform most amateur and professional investors? Well, you can. Each fund in the Bogleheads Guide to the 3-fund portfolio is guaranteed to do just that. Skeptical? You should be. It's a sign of a good investor. There are many academic studies showing that index funds nearly always beat their managed funds counterparts. Here are a few. S&P Dow Jones SPIVA Scorecard. In 2002, S&P Dow Jones Indices introduced its first SPIVA Scorecard, which is the most reliable data comparing managed funds with index funds. Here are quotes from the 2017 year-end SPIVA report. Over the 15-year period ending December 2017, 83.7% of large cap, 95.4% of mid cap, and 93.21% of small cap managers trailed their respective index benchmarks. Across all time horizons, the majority of managers across all international equity categories underperformed their benchmarks. Funds disappear at a significant rate. Over the 15-year period, more than 58% of domestic equity funds were either merged or liquidated. Similarly, almost 52% of global/international equity funds and 49% of fixed income funds were merged or liquidated. This finding highlights the importance of addressing survivorship bias in mutual fund analysis. Funds with poor results are the ones normally merged or liquidated. National Association of College and University Business Officers, NACUBO. Colleges can afford to buy the investment advice of the best and most expensive portfolio managers to handle their endowments, so it is interesting to see their results. According to a press release issued in January 2017, data collected for NACUBO shows that reporting institutions' endowments returned an average of negative 1.9% net of fees for the 2016 fiscal year, July 1, 2015 to June 30, 2016, and contributed to a decline in long-term 10-year average annual returns to 5%, well below the median 7.4% that most institutions report they need to earn in order to maintain their endowment's purchasing power after spending, inflation, and investment management costs. Meanwhile, the Russell 3000 Total Market Index returned 7.4%. Alan Roth Study. Mr. Roth is a CPA, CFP, and fee-only financial advisor. He writes the monthly investing column for AARP magazine and is the author of How a Second Grader Beats Wall Street Using the Three-Fund Portfolio. For this wonderful book, written in 2009, Alan did a study to determine the probability that an all-active fund portfolio will beat an all-index fund portfolio when the index fund expense ratio was 0.23 and the managed fund ratio was 2. The table prepared by Alan shows that one managed fund had a 42% chance of beating an all-index fund over a one-year period, but that the chances become less and less as more funds are added and as the length of time increases until there is only a 1% chance with 10 active funds after 25 years. One active fund, 1 year, 42%, 5 years, 30%, 10 years, 23%, 25 years, 12%. Five active funds, 1 year, 32%, 5 years, 18%, 10 years, 11%, 25 years, 3%. 10 active funds, 1 year, 25%, 5 years, 9%, 10 years, 6%, and 25 years, 1%. Rick Ferry Study. Mr. Ferry, CFA, is a retired financial advisor and the author of 6 highly regarded financial books. As described in Chapter 3, Mr. Ferry did a study of 5,000 randomly selected portfolios of actively managed mutual funds and compared them to the funds in the three-fund portfolio. The study's conclusion, dedicated active fund investors can look forward to a 99% probability their portfolio will underperform an all-index fund portfolio over their lifetime. William Sharpe paper. William Sharpe, Nobel laureate, wrote The Arithmetic of Active Management for the Financial Analyst Journal in 1991 and came to the following conclusion. Properly measured, the average actively managed dollar must underperform the average passively managed dollar net of costs. Empirical analyses that appear to refute this principle are guilty of improper measurement. Paul Samuelson, Nobel laureate. Statistically, a broad-based stock index fund will outperform most actively managed equity portfolios, from Challenge to Judgment, the lead article in the 1974 inaugural edition of the Journal of Portfolio Management. On January 12, 2018, Paul Farrell's Lazy Portfolios column reported total returns for 8 professionally designed lazy portfolios for 1, 3, 5, and 10-year periods. The second grader starter portfolio, consisting of the three-fund portfolio of total market index funds, topped all the others. Another real-world report showing that the three-fund portfolio, as espoused in this book, works over multiple time periods. The financial industry does not want us to know that index funds have higher returns than managed funds, because they make their money promoting higher-cost managed funds. In an attempt to disparage index funds, one large broker-dealer, Sanford C. Bernstein & Company, LLC, described passive investing as promoting a system of capital allocation worse than Marxism. Nevertheless, the tide is turning. At the end of 2016, index funds, including ETFs, represented 24.9% of all equity funds, and the percentage is rapidly increasing as investors learn about indexing higher returns. As an investor, you have a choice. You can be like the gamblers who try to beat the casino, or you can be the casino by investing in total market index funds. It's an easy choice once you understand the odds. Bogleheads speak out. Investing can be simple when you just trust a few broad stock and bond indices, choose an appropriate asset allocation, and stick to your plan. FO. You can't beat the market. Jonathan Clements is one of the most knowledgeable financial writers in the business. He spent almost 20 years at the Wall Street Journal, where he wrote over 1,000 columns on personal finance before leaving to become director of financial education at Citigroup. Mr. Clements is the author of 6 highly regarded books on finance and now writes a personal finance newsletter, The Humble Dollar. Here is the first sentence in the March 2018 edition of that newsletter. Trying to beat the market isn't just a risky endeavor that will almost certainly end in failure. It's also unnecessary and, arguably, an astonishing waste of money and time. Benefit 11. Simplified contributions and withdrawals. One problem for investors holding multi-fund portfolios is that each contribution and each withdrawal must be spread among all the funds in the portfolio in order to maintain the desired portfolio asset allocation. Having only 2 stock funds and 1 bond fund makes this task considerably easier and more efficient. Let's take a look at how that works for an investor with a portfolio of a larger number of mutual funds. Many of these types of portfolios contain at least some active funds and often include some balanced funds. In this case, there could well be overlap among the funds, since the balanced funds contain some equities and some bonds. As a result, investors making contributions or withdrawals would need to closely examine the current breakdown in each of their funds to determine their current asset allocation prior to making any contributions or withdrawals. Since there is no overlap between equities and bonds in the 3-fund portfolio, this makes contributions and withdrawals far simpler. Bogleheads speak out. Simply owning a broad market index fund greatly simplifies the strategy for accumulating and coming up with a withdrawal strategy. J.O. Benefit 12. The benefit of consistency. Investors appreciate a mutual fund or an ETF that is consistent compared with a fund that is volatile, changes managers, changes style, or takes unnecessary risk in the hope of market-beating performance. Vanguard Total Stock Market Index Fund is known for its consistency when compared to other stock funds. As of this recording, Vanguard Total Stock Market Index Fund Admiral Shares, VTSAX, has beaten its Morningstar category average every year since its inception in 2001. Very few funds can claim this consistency. One of the greatest benefits of total market index funds is that you will never have to worry about your portfolio underperforming the market because you own the market. In 2007, the Vanguard Energy Fund Admiral Shares, VGELX, had a very good year. It gained 34.81% compared to the Vanguard Total Stock Market Index Fund, which gained 5.57%. Investors rushed into energy funds to enjoy anticipated profits, but the data shows what happened during the next 10 years. VTSAX versus VGELX, comparative annual returns. Year 2008. VTSAX, -36.99, VGELX, -39.34, 2009, VTSAX, 28.83, VGELX, 24.85, 2010, VTSAX, 17.36, VGELX, 21.10, 2011, VTSAX, 1.08, VGELX, 2.79, 2012, VTSAX, 16.38, VGELX, 3.49. 2013, VTSAX, 33.52, VGELX, 25.78. 2014, VTSAX, 12.56, VGELX, 9.88. 2015, VTSAX, 0.39, VGELX, -28.22. 2016, VTSAX, 12.66, VGELX 28.94, 2017, VTSAX 21.17, VGELX negative 2.39. 10-year average, VTSAX 9.71, VGELX 1.89. Bogleheads speak out. This three-fund portfolio is what my wife and I now use for our retirement savings. MP. Benefit 13. Low turnover. Turnover is the ratio of how much a fund's securities are replaced each year. For example, if a mutual fund invests in 100 different stocks and 50 of them are replaced during 1 year, the turnover ratio would be 50%. All mutual funds and ETFs have turnover. Following are recent turnover rates for each Vanguard fund in the three-fund portfolio compared with the turnover rates of all funds in the same category. Fund. Total stock market. Turnover 4%. Category average 59%. Total international. Turnover 3%. Category average 60%. Total bond market. Turnover 61%. Category average 232%. Source Morningstar. Mr. Bogle suggests as a rule of thumb that turnover costs are equal to about 1% of a fund's assets. Turnover costs, which are hidden from investors, include commissions, spreads, impact, and administrative costs. Turnover costs do not include the additional tax cost to investors when the turnover results in capital gains distributions to the investor. Turnover costs often are larger than a fund's published expense ratio, i.e., management fees and operating expenses combined. Morningstar reported that for the 10 years ending in December 2016, the average U.S. diversified equity fund returned 5.15%. However, primarily because of higher turnover and bad market timing, fund investors averaged only a 4.3% annual return. That difference hurts all of us, so we should do everything we can to minimize it. Total market index funds have among the lowest stock and bond turnover rates. The result is extremely low turnover costs for three-fund portfolio investors, with the savings meaning higher returns for all of us. Boglehead speak out. Finally, after years of tinkering, I have the true three-fund portfolio you inspired. RW. Benefit 14. Low costs. Most of us have learned from experience that cheap goods and services are usually not as good as more expensive goods and services. Paying more will often buy a better house, a better car, better clothing, better airline seats, and better service. It is therefore understandable that many investors believe that paying more for expensive funds, expensive financial advice, and expensive investments will result in better results. The opposite is nearly always true. Investing in a simple three-fund portfolio of total market index funds eliminates the need to choose from among pricey funds, advisors, and individual investments, thus putting more money in your pocket and less in theirs. Fund costs are key to your ultimate returns. In our Boglehead's Guide to Investing, we reported on a study done by Financial Research Corporation to determine which mutual fund predictors really worked. Morningstar ratings, past performance, turnover, expenses, manager tenure, net sales, asset size, alpha, excess return, beta, volatility, standard deviation, and Sharpe ratio. This was their conclusion. The expense ratio is the only reliable predictor of future mutual fund performance. Morningstar, a primary source for reliable mutual fund data, did a similar study and came to the same conclusion. If there's anything in the whole world of mutual funds that you can take to the bank, it's that expense ratios help you make a better decision. In every single time period and data point tested, low-cost funds beat high-cost funds. In 2014, Mr. Bogle did a study of total fund costs before taxes for the CFA Institute. Here are his findings. All-in investment expenses for retirement plan investors. Expense ratio, actively managed funds, 1.12%. Index funds, 0.06%. Transaction cost, actively managed funds, 0.5%. Index funds, 0%. Cash drag, actively managed funds, 0.15%. Index funds, 0%. Sales charges / fees, actively managed funds, 0.5%. Index funds, 0%. All in expenses, actively managed funds, 2.27%. Index funds, 0.06%. Mr. Bogle understates the index fund advantage because tax costs were not included. He once estimated that taxes have in the past cost fund investors an extra 1.5% per year compared to holding the market portfolio. Total market index funds have costs, but they are much lower than managed funds costs. One reason is that total market funds have extremely low turnover. Unlike most mutual funds and ETFs, total market index funds do not need to buy or sell stocks when the company moves from one category to another. Turnover often results in a capital gain in other funds, which is then passed on to the fund's owners. The three mutual funds in the three-fund portfolio enjoy extremely low costs. Fund. Total Stock Market Investor Shares, VTSMX. Expense ratio, 0.15%. 2016 industry average, 0.48%. Total Stock Market Admiral Shares, VTSAX. Expense ratio, 0.04%. 2016 industry average, 0.48%. Total Stock Market ETF Shares, VTI. Expense ratio, 0.04%. 2016 industry average, not available. Total International Investor Shares, VGTSX, expense ratio, 0.18%. 2016 industry average, 0.70%. Total International Admiral Shares, VTIAX, expense ratio, 0.11%. 2016 industry average, 0.70%. Total International ETF, VXUS, expense ratio, 0.11%. 2016 industry average, not available. Total Bond Market Investor Shares, VBMFX, expense ratio, 0.15%, 2016 industry average, 0.48%. Total Bond Market Admiral Shares, VBTLX, expense ratio, 0.05%, 2016 industry average, not available. Minimum Investment Investor Shares, $3,000, Admiral Shares, $10,000. Source, Vanguard and Morningstar, 2017. To give you an idea of the impact of costs, consider this. If stocks gain an average of 6% annually during the next 30 years, someone who invested $25,000 with a 1% yearly fee will forego more than $35,500 in gains because of the fee, more than the original investment. Like Mr. Bogle, I believe that the hard-earned money saved and invested should be yours. You get to keep exactly what you don't pay for. Jack Bogle, The Little Book of Common Sense Investing. Bogleheads speak out. The simplicity of it, the low expenses, low taxes, and diversification is impressive. SG. Benefit 15. Maximum diversification, lower risk. If there is one thing about investing on which all authorities agree, it is the benefit of diversification, often called the only free lunch in investing. The primary benefit of diversification is that diversified mutual fund investors will never have all their investments in an underperforming fund, thus having a much greater chance of achieving their goals. The three-fund portfolio contains more than 15,000 worldwide securities for the ultimate diversification. Wall Street may try to sell you a more complex and expensive portfolio, but it is unlikely to be more diversified. The world, in a sense, becomes your oyster. According to Morningstar, the level of risk contained in the stocks that are represented in the S&P 500 and the Wilshire 5000 Total Market Index is about 25% less than the risk in the average active stock fund. The Lehman Brothers bankruptcy in 2008 is an example of the need for diversification. Lehman Brothers was founded in 1850, and in 2000 it was the fourth largest investment bank in the United States. In the 2008 bear market, Lehman Brothers went bankrupt, causing thousands of their employees and individual investors who owned Lehman Brothers shares to lose all or part of their retirement benefits and life savings. Vanguard Total Stock Market Index Fund investors also owned Lehman Brothers shares in their fund, but because their fund was diversified with thousands of other stocks, Total Stock Market Fund shareholders were little affected by the bankruptcy. This is another advantage for Total Market Index Funds. Because all your stocks and bonds are wrapped into one fund, you don't see the carnage that unnerves other investors, causing them to worry and sell at exactly the wrong time, i.e. during bear markets. Diversification, with its lower risk, is the hallmark of the three-fund portfolio. It protects us from allowing our brain, wired to sometimes flee out of fear, to become our own worst enemy. Boglehead speak out. I am a three-fund portfolio guy, and we all agree with John Bogle in that simplicity in investing is a great option. RB. Benefit 16. Portfolio efficiency, best risk-return ratio. Total market index funds are highly efficient due to the fact that they offer the highest return for the amount of risk. This extremely important benefit is little known by the majority of investors, and it gets little notice in the press. Portfolio efficiency gets into higher mathematics, so I will let John Norstad, a retired mathematician at Northwestern University, explain. Many people do not understand why the cap-weighted total U.S. stock market, TSM, plays such a central role in financial economics. They believe that TSM is just one of many possible U.S. stock portfolios, with no good reason to believe that it is special or superior to other kinds of stock portfolios. They often present alternatives which they claim offer a higher expected return than TSM with less risk. In technical terms, these alternatives are more efficient than TSM. We give three proofs that, under three different assumptions, TSM is efficient in the sense that no other U.S. stock portfolio can be more efficient than TSM, have lower risk and higher expected return. No one can predict the future, but it is reassuring for the three-fund portfolio investors to know they hold a very efficient portfolio. Bogleheads speak out. I'm a fan of Taylor's three-fund portfolio, total stock, total international stock, and total bond index funds. That is all you really need, and it is pretty simple. Balance once a year to maintain your asset allocation, and you are done. SI. Benefit 17. Low maintenance. All portfolios, like a good car that keeps on running, require regular maintenance. Funds need rebalancing, contributions and withdrawals change, new fund offerings need consideration. Funds are merged and liquidated. Asset allocation may need adjustment. Changes in income, expenses, and net worth may require adjustment. Changes in tax laws and the investor's tax bracket may require adjustments. Beneficiaries change. These and other maintenance items require knowledge, time, and attention. The need for portfolio maintenance and the opportunity for mistakes is magnified in direct proportion to the number of funds in a portfolio. The three-fund portfolio, with only three total market index funds, requires minimum maintenance. This means investors will have less worry and thus may spend more time with family and friends doing whatever they enjoy. I promise you will learn to appreciate all the repairs or fixes that are not required with operating such a simple portfolio. Bogleheads speak out. The three-fund portfolio has served my family well, and I hope it'll be for many decades to come. TY. Benefit 18. Easy to rebalance. Rebalancing takes place when it's necessary for an investor to exchange fund shares in a portfolio to maintain the portfolio's desired asset allocation. Knowledgeable investors understand that, more than anything else, the stock-bond ratio in a portfolio determines our expected return and expected risk. For this reason, it's very important to maintain one's desired asset allocation between stocks and bonds. We'll talk more about asset allocation in Chapter 5. The values of the securities in stock and bond funds change constantly. Small changes don't matter, but over time the value of individual funds, especially stock funds, can change substantially. This requires rebalancing, which, in taxable accounts, can trigger capital gains taxes. In another form of rebalancing, each of the funds in the three-fund portfolio automatically adjusts its holdings to match its index benchmark on an almost daily basis. Although it requires buying and selling securities by the fund managers, this internal rebalancing within each fund only rarely results in capital gains distributions to total market shareholders. While it is necessary for investors to rebalance the three total market index fund portfolio to maintain the desired asset allocation, this rebalancing is easier and more often results in a much smaller capital gains tax. Bogleheads speak out. Three-fund portfolio. I'm a big fan. Keep it simple. OH. Benefit 19. Tax efficiency. Smart investors want to keep their taxes as low as possible. Index funds, especially total market index funds, are among the most tax-efficient of all funds when located in taxable accounts. Tax efficiency isn't a factor in tax-advantaged accounts such as IRAs, 401ks, 403bs, etc. The tax cost ratio measures how much a fund's annualized return is reduced by the taxes investors have to pay on distributions. For example, if a fund had a 2% tax cost ratio, it means that investors in that fund lost 2% of their assets to taxes. According to Morningstar, January 12, 2018, the average tax cost ratio for equity funds tends to fall between 1 and 1.2%. As of this recording, Vanguard Total Stock Market Index Fund has a 15-year tax cost ratio of 0.40, less than half the tax cost ratio of the average equity fund. The tax efficiency of total stock market index funds derives from several sources. Lower turnover by the passive fund manager, who doesn't need to exchange stocks that trigger taxes that are later passed on to fund shareholders as distributions. Unlike most equity funds, Vanguard Total Stock Market Index Fund and Total International Stock Index Fund haven't distributed a taxable capital gain since 2000. Lower turnover by the individual investor, because there is no need to buy and sell total market stock funds, triggering personal taxes. Total Stock Market Index Fund already owns nearly every listed stock. Likewise, there should be no need to sell Total Bond Market Index Fund shares, since it automatically maintains its broad diversification. Eligibility for lower tax rate. Vanguard Total Stock Market and Total International Index Funds are eligible for a reduced federal tax rate called Qualified Dividend Income, QDI. In 2017, total U.S. stock market had 92% of its distributions qualify for the lower QDI rate, while Total International Stock Fund and its ETF had 71% of its distributions eligible for the lower QDI rate. Bonds are not eligible for the QDI rate, which is one reason taxable bond funds are usually best placed in tax-advantaged accounts. Investors should never forget that it's the after-tax returns that count. Boglehead speak out. I'm going to once again vouch for the three-fund portfolio and thank Taylor for helping us years ago. What we have been saving in tax and expense ratio probably pays more than half our total living expenses for the year alone. HU. Benefit 20. Simplicity for investors, caregivers, and heirs. Jack Bogle likes to say, simplicity is the master key to financial success. His words ring loud and clear in contrast to the financial industry that tries to convince us that investing is so complicated we must buy their expensive products and services if we want to be successful investors. Nothing could be further from the truth. Bill Schultheis, advisor and author of The Coffeehouse Investor, also wrote about simplicity. When you simplify your investment decisions, not only do you enrich your life by spending more time with families, friends, and careers, you enhance portfolio returns in the process. According to the Investment Company Institute, in 2016, there were 8,066 mutual funds from which investors were able to choose. Fund marketing can be subtle, but most mutual fund companies try to convince investors that their funds will do or have done better than other companies' funds. Vanguard does not compare company returns. One of the most frequent requests on the Boglehead's online forum is for help with simplifying a portfolio. For example, we recently had a request to help a new Boglehead track his portfolio, which contained a mishmash of 90 overlapping securities. The forum participant didn't realize that tracking wasn't his problem. His primary problem was his very confusing and complex high-cost portfolio, the result of using several advisors who were friends and relatives. This confused investor didn't realize that a simple three-fund portfolio contains more stocks and more bonds and at a much lower cost than his unwieldy portfolio of 90 individual securities. A portfolio with fewer and larger funds has many advantages. Lower costs, fewer hidden turnover costs, better tax efficiency, avoidance of low balance fees, less distortion from contributions and withdrawals, less rebalancing, lesser chance of errors, easier tax preparation, less paperwork storage, less stress, more free time with family and friends. Simple to understand and maintain, the three-fund portfolio does not require higher mathematics, spreadsheets, complicated tax returns, being glued to the television before, during, and after market hours, or reading the Wall Street Journal. My personal portfolio, all with Vanguard, requires very little maintenance. I use the Vanguard website a few times a year to check for fraud or mistakes. It has never happened. I am over 70 and a half years old, so I use their website once a year to take the required minimum distributions from my retirement plan. Vanguard mails me a statement every year showing how much I must withdraw. Thank you, Vanguard. My year-end Vanguard statement gives me the balance of each of my three funds and is all I need to rebalance to my desired asset allocation. I probably spend about an hour a year managing my stay-the-course portfolio. I leave it to you to imagine what you can do with all the time you will be saving investing in this way. My simple portfolio is not just very easy for me to manage, it will be easy for my ultimate caregivers and my heirs to manage. There seems to be some perverse human characteristic that likes to make easy things difficult. Warren Buffett. Many bogleheads add a signature line at the bottom of their forum posts, something that expresses an idea we want to share. I chose this quote from Jack Bogle as I find it one of his most important messages. Simplicity is the master key to financial success. Bogleheads speak out. I am convinced that the three-fund portfolio makes the most sense for me as someone who likes to sleep. K.O. Be like Mike. Financial Ramblings is a wonderful blog written by Mike, middle-aged, married, four kids in school. Don't know his last name, but it's unimportant to my story. Perhaps Mike's like you. He's worked hard, made mostly good decisions, and with his wife's help, put his family in good financial shape. Mortgage paid, no consumer debt, a sizable and growing investment portfolio created while raising a family. No silver spoon, humble beginnings for Mike. To make it all happen, Mike says he answered two questions and made allocations to three funds. This did wonders for the family's financial health. Question 1. What is your preference on stock versus bond allocation? He asks you to remember one important fact. Increasing your equity allocation increases your expected returns, but there also will be greater risks. Your bond allocation is a buffer, as it should represent what you cannot afford to lose. He notes, however, that adding a small amount of stocks to an all-bond portfolio actually increases return while reducing risk. Diversification wins. Question 2. Domestic versus international stock mix. Once you've decided on an appropriate stock-bond allocation, you need to decide on your preferred mix of domestic versus international equities. Why should you bother with international equities? For the diversification benefit. Historical data on international equities shows that this diversification offers you the potential to increase returns while simultaneously reducing volatility. As with the addition of stocks to an all-bond portfolio, this is a classic win-win. It's also worth keeping in mind that the U.S. stock market accounts for just about one-third of the world's total market capitalization. That being said, you probably don't want to go overboard with the international equities. Mike suggests the end result might be a standard 60-40 stock-bond mix with 20% investment in international stocks. To jumpstart the process, Mike shares the ticker symbols for appropriate index funds from several major fund families. Vanguard, VTSMX, VGTSX, VBMFX. Fidelity, FSTMX, FSGDX, FBIDX. Schwab, SWTSX, SWISX, SWLBX. TIAA CREF, TINRX, TRIEX, TBILX. Mike has other alternatives. You can use ETFs, e.g. VTI, VXUS, and BND, or the equivalents from other fund families, if that's what you'd prefer. And if you're in the government's thrift savings plan, you can assemble a portfolio similar to the above using the C fund, I fund, and F or G fund. One tip to remember, from there, you can reduce your need to rebalance by directing new money and or dividend reinvestments into whichever asset class is low versus the target. This will keep your allocations in your comfort zone, only requiring minimal rebalancing when percentage allocations drift too far from your targets. Source: Investing with a Three-Fund Portfolio, Financial Ramblings, May 13, 2013. www.financialramblings.com/archives/investing-with-a-3-fund-portfolio/. Chapter 5. Getting Started. For many years after Jack Bogle introduced his three total market index funds, Vanguard was the only mutual fund company where total market index funds were available. However, as word spread, Schwab, Fidelity, and a few other companies each introduced total market index funds with similar low costs. Investors are now able to construct the three-fund portfolio with whichever company they prefer. Your first step when getting started is to decide which funds best suit your needs and wants. I hope you're convinced that 3 low-cost total market index funds are ideal and usually all you need. It is permissible to add more funds, but recognize that adding funds to your 3-fund portfolio will add cost and complexity. Your second step in designing your 3-fund portfolio is to decide your most suitable asset allocation. This is your most important investment decision because, with the exception of the amount you are saving and investing, your asset allocation, i.e. your stock-bond ratio, determines your expected return and expected risk. Remember that expected risk and expected return go hand in hand. The higher the expected return, the higher the expected risk. Here's some data from Vanguard showing the average annual return and the worst single year return of various stock and bond allocations from 1926 to 2015. Stock bond percentage, 0% stocks, 100% bonds. Average annual return, 5.4%. Worst single year return, -8.1%. 20% stocks, 80% bonds. Average annual return, 6.7%. Worst single year return, -10.1%. 40% stocks, 60% bonds. Average annual return, 7.8%. Worst single year return, -18.4%. 60% stocks, 40% bonds. Average annual return, 8.7%. Worst single year return, -26.6%. 80% stocks, 20% bonds. Average annual return, 9.5%. Worst single year return, -34.9%. And 100% stocks, 0% bonds. Average annual return, 10.1%. Worst single year return, -43.1%. The data shows the importance of our overall stock-bond ratio. A high percentage of stocks in a portfolio is more volatile and thus likely to result in both higher returns and greater losses. Statistics often conceal more than they reveal. For example, what is not shown in the data is the fact that bear markets usually last much longer than 1 year. Therefore, stocks and bonds may have much worse returns than shown for a single year. For example, in the 2008 bear market, Vanguard Total Stock Market, VTSMX, declined for 16 long months for a total decline of 50.9%. The fund then took another 37 months to recover to its former value. In the same bear market, Vanguard Total International Fund, VGTSX, plunged 58.5%. Meanwhile, Vanguard Total Bond Market, VBMFX, gained plus 5% in 2008. Vanguard has a free asset allocation tool that you can use to help you decide your most appropriate asset allocation between stocks and bonds. Go to https://personal.vanguard.com/us/funds/tools and click on the investor questionnaire. Vanguard also has a relationship with Financial Engines, a company that Nobel laureate Bill Sharpe founded, and it can create awareness about the inherent risks in your portfolio through the use of Monte Carlo simulations. While the future is uncertain, these simulations can share with you the probabilities of future outcomes so you may make informed decisions about the investment risk you are taking as you travel through time. The basic rule of thumb is to keep your safe money, i.e. money you don't want to risk in stocks, in high-quality bonds. While this doesn't give you 100% protection against losses at all times, as I detailed in the asset allocation data, it has still proven to be valuable advice over time. Your age in bonds is a good starting point. Using that general rule, a 30-year-old might have 30% in bonds. However, if you want to be more aggressive, you'd have less than your age in bonds. And if you want to be more conservative, you might consider having more than your age in bonds. The asset allocation data and the Vanguard asset allocation tool ignore the percentage of your stock allocation that should be invested in international stocks. This is one of the most controversial subjects in investing because of concerns about poor accounting controls and government problems in some foreign countries, lack of transparency, currency exchange risk issues, and other concerns associated with foreign investing. Jack Bogle says he's fine with 0% international, but feels that 20% may be okay for investors who want some international exposure. No one can forecast the stock and bond markets. Nevertheless, we must make a decision. I suggest that for U.S. investors, 20% of your equity, stocks, should be placed in a total international stock index fund like the Vanguard Total International Stock Market Index Fund, VTIAX. My suggested 20% is a compromise between the maximum 20% suggested by Jack Bogle and the minimum 20% recommended by a Vanguard study. Your third step, after determining your desired asset allocation, is to decide whether to use traditional mutual funds or exchange-traded funds, ETFs. This should not be a difficult decision because it doesn't make much difference unless you are a trader. ETFs are traded on the open market. Traders prefer ETFs because they may easily be traded nearly any time of day. Boglehead shun day trading. We are stay-the-course investors. Vanguard ETFs are simply another share class of their mutual funds. They hold the same securities as their corresponding mutual funds and are equally tax efficient. They also have the same expense ratios as Vanguard Admiral shares. I suggest you start your portfolio with Vanguard mutual funds, and if you later change your mind, you may switch to the fund's corresponding ETFs without tax consequences or other costs. However, the reverse is not allowed, i.e., you cannot switch from Vanguard ETFs to Vanguard mutual funds without selling. Different mutual fund companies will, of course, have different rules. Your fourth step, if you qualify, is to invest in a tax-advantaged retirement plan. If you participate in a company retirement plan, you are allowed to make tax-advantaged contributions up to $18,000 annually, $24,000 if age 50 or older. Look first to see if your company plan has a low-cost target retirement fund with a stock-bond mix close to your desired asset allocation. A target retirement fund is an all-in-one fund that automatically adjusts the mix of stocks, bonds, and cash according to a selected time frame. These funds automatically rebalance and get more conservative as you age. If you later find that you need to make a change in your fund selection for any reason, there is no tax or penalty for switching to a different fund within most retirement accounts. It's important to note that not all target retirement funds with the same year in their name contain the same allocation between stocks and bonds, so it's important that you look under the hood and select the fund that most closely matches your desired asset allocation. When choosing your fund, remember that it's your desired asset allocation that should be the determining factor, not the date in the fund name. Retirement funds are designed by company experts. It's hard to go wrong when putting a low-cost target date fund that's suitable for your time frame, risk tolerance, and personal financial situation into your tax-advantaged account. If there are no low-cost target funds available in your company plan, look for low-cost index funds. Most company plans offer an S&P 500 index fund, which is a suitable replacement for the U.S. Total Market Index Fund. Some company plans offering an S&P 500 index fund will also offer an extended market index fund. These two funds together, in a ratio of 5 to 1, 5 of the 500 index to 1 of the extended market, are about the same as a single U.S. total market index fund. If your company plan does not have suitable low-cost index funds, invest up to the company match in the best low-cost fund available to get the free money, and then open an IRA, which offers a much larger selection of low-cost funds with which you can complete your desired portfolio. Young investors should always take advantage of saving in their investment retirement account at a level that triggers the maximum match from their employer. If you do not have a company retirement plan, consider an individual retirement account, IRA. There are two main types, traditional and Roth. Contributions to a traditional IRA are deductible on your taxes, but taxable when withdrawn. Contributions to a Roth IRA are not deductible, but withdrawals are tax-free. If you expect to be in a higher tax bracket in retirement and do not need the tax deduction now, it is usually better to choose the Roth. One advantage of a Roth IRA is that contributions may be withdrawn at any time without tax or penalty. Nearly all mutual fund companies and banks will be happy to open an IRA for you. From the IRS website for 2017 returns. Roth IRA and traditional IRA annual contribution limits. Age 49 and under, $5,500. Age 50 and older, $6,500. Traditional IRA modified adjusted gross income limit for partial deductibility. Single, $62,000 up to $72,000. Married, filing joint returns, $99,000 up to $119,000. Married, filing separately, zero up to $10,000. Non-active participant spouse, $186,000 up to $196,000. Roth IRA modified adjusted gross income phase-out ranges. Single, $118,000 up to $133,000. Married, filing joint returns, $186,000 up to $196,000. Married, filing separately, zero up to $10,000. Spousal IRAs. If you and your spouse file a joint return, the non-working spouse may be able to contribute to an IRA, even if the other spouse did not. The amount of your combined contributions cannot be more than the taxable compensation reported on your joint return. IRAs can be complicated, but for most of us, it boils down to a decision whether to use a traditional IRA or a Roth IRA. This is a general rule. Use a traditional IRA if you think your income tax rate is higher now than it will be in retirement. Use a Roth IRA if you think your income tax rate is lower now than it will be in retirement. If you want more detailed information, go to https://www.irs.gov/retirement-plans/individual-retirement-arrangement-IRAs-1. If you are not eligible for a tax-advantaged retirement plan because you have no earned income, or if you have maxed out your retirement plans, or if for some other reason you are not eligible, don't despair. A low-cost, broad-market equity index fund, or an ETF, is very tax-efficient. A taxable account has the advantage of liquidity. You may take your money out anytime for any reason, although capital gains taxes may be due. There is one overriding rule when selecting funds or ETFs for taxable accounts. In taxable accounts, use only tax-efficient funds. This is because if you later sell or exchange a taxable fund that is profitable, it usually triggers a capital gains tax. Total stock market and total international stock market funds are excellent tax-efficient funds for taxable accounts when tax-advantaged accounts are full or unavailable. The total bond market fund is not tax-efficient and should normally be placed in a tax-advantaged account. If you don't have space for all of your bonds in your tax-advantaged accounts, consider a high-quality tax-exempt intermediate-term bond fund, such as Vanguard's Tax-Exempt Intermediate-Term Bond Fund, VWIUX, for your taxable account. And if you are in a higher tax bracket and live in a state with an income tax, a state-specific tax-free bond fund should also be considered for your taxable account. Morningstar has a free tax-equivalent yield calculator to help you determine whether to use a taxable or tax-exempt bond fund. www.screen.morningstar.com/bondcalc/bondcalculator_tax-equivalent.html. In a nutshell, here is my advice on fund placement for maximum tax efficiency. Place the total bond market fund in tax-advantaged accounts. If full, use a tax-exempt bond fund in a taxable account. Place the total stock market and the total international stock market funds in either a tax-advantaged account, best, or a taxable account. Your fifth step is implementing your plan. Let's review. Step 1, you have selected 3 total market index funds or substitute funds. Step 2, you have determined your all-important asset allocation plan. Step 3, you have decided whether to use mutual funds or ETFs. Step 4, you have selected the best type of accounts. And step 5, now it is time to implement your plan. At the time of recording, Fidelity and Schwab are in a low-cost bidding war with Vanguard. The result is that a select few of their total market index funds are as cheap or cheaper than Vanguard by 0.01%. Assuming Fidelity and Schwab maintain very low expense ratios, ERs, in their total market index funds, this is good news for investors. Be sure to check the fine print to be certain that what appears in an ad is not just a single loss leader designed to bring you in as a client. I suggest that you consider Fidelity, Schwab, or Vanguard, or any other company offering total market index funds with low expense ratios. A few basis points. A basis point is 0.01% is less important than a company's strength, reputation, and service. Simply contact the company for instructions on how to get started with your new target fund or the 3-fund portfolio. Contact information. Fidelity. www.fidelity.com. 800-343-3548. Schwab. www.schwab.com. 800-435-4000. Vanguard. www.vanguard.com. 877-662-7447. If your current securities are in a tax-advantaged account, you should be able to exchange your existing portfolio for a 3-fund portfolio without any tax consequences. If your current securities are in a taxable account, and if they're profitable, you need to consider any resulting taxes and fees before selling existing securities. This is a common problem, and is the reason it is so important for investors to use tax-efficient funds when investing in taxable accounts. Here are 5 steps to minimize taxes. 1. stop making contributions into unwanted and tax-inefficient securities. 2. Stop reinvesting distributions. 3. Determine the amount of gain or loss in each taxable security. 4. If any security has a loss, consider selling and taking the tax loss benefit. And 5. If any security has a profit, consider selling up to the amount of your losses after being held for 1 year to benefit from the lower capital gains tax rate. Numbers 4 and 5 will be a wash and will result in zero tax. Put the proceeds